Welcome to Rhea Radio, episode 103, with Denless, Ted, and Owen Dashner at Bigger Pockets.
Yeah.
You're listening to Rhea Radio, the nationally trusted name in real estate investing. We dig deep to discover investors' why in real estate. If you want to skip all the BS and get in investors' heads, you're in the right spot. Be one of the thousands to check out RhiaRadio.com.
Hey, man. You and I got to be roommates this time at BP. Yeah. How fun was that?
Well, I didn't sleep in the same room with you, but we slept in the same house together, yes.
Yeah, and that was a fun house, though.
It really was, yeah.
Did you jump in the hot tub and swim a little bit?
No.
Yeah, I remember you indulging in those.
Here's the funny story behind that. It's just become, now it's a habit. But before, remember, I had long dreadlocks.
Yeah.
And it's a pain in the ass to dry those things when it gets wet.
Okay.
So that was
a long time ago, though.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. It basically grew into a habit now where I just don't go into pools anymore because of that. Not doing it for like 8 years because of my hair now. So now it's like when I see a pool, like I'm tempted to go in, but then I think about maybe it's not good for my hair, but then I forget that I don't have locks anymore. So it's like now I just sit at the pool and I keep everybody company.
Does your wife miss those locks?
You know, I never asked her that question, but I think the reason why she doesn't miss it now is because when I was cutting off my hair, it was to reinvent myself.
Yep.
So I was seeing a different person and she also saw a different person. So the new person that I am now visually is what she is like. She loves that one.
She loves that.
So that's why she's like, I miss the hair, but I don't miss the person.
Mm.
So it's like, yeah, we good.
So she's not like, oh, maybe you start growing it back or.
I actually hinted to her that I wanted to do it. And she's like, nah, you're good just the way you are. I'm like, okay, good.
Keep it the way it is. Huh?
Yeah.
So Dennis, the question is, at Bigger Pockets, what was the most memorable moment for you besides becoming part of Pace Morby's group?
Yeah.
Now that you're part of the cult.
I had that one moment where I was trying to figure out which room to go into.
Mm. Which breakout session?
Yeah, which breakout session. And I was standing in the common area and Sarah Weaver,
mm-hmm.
like I bumped into her and she gave me a sticker on my
I love you one or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love you like a medium term rental, yeah. Or midterm rental or something like that. And then she off the cuff just was like, are you busy now? Because I would like for you to record my session for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I mean, okay. You know, just I mean it was Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, I love Sarah. Sarah's great.
Sarah's our first big name we ever had on the podcast.
Exactly, yeah. You know, and she's always been like nice to all of us, you know, mm-hmm. and to me. Like, so I was like, you know what? Yeah, it's Sarah, it's you. I'll do it for you. That's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Pro bono, no cost or anything like that. And just so happened that recorded it. I sent it over to her. And right at the end of that, this guy comes up and he asks me if I am Sarah's videographer. And I'm like, no, I just did it for free. And he's like, oh, okay. And then I was like, would you like me to do something for you for free as well? And he was like, would you? I said, yeah. And it just so happened that he's the owner of and founder of Boostly.
Yep.
And, you know, just being able to make that contact through saying yes to Sarah. Because if I didn't say yes to Sarah, I would not have met him.
Yep.
Mark Simpson, I think is his name.
Mm-hmm.
And if I didn't say yes to Sarah, I would not have been able to meet him. And that, so.
And he had like 5 conferences he was doing while he's in the States.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and he already had planned already for the end of this year. And I told him like, because he was like, if you could fly out to Texas at the end of November, I mean, you could come out there. And I was like, I need to plan this much better. So he was like, okay, based on my schedule next year, we would see how we could get things going. So I was like, cool. So it all just shows that, you know, sometimes saying yes to something that seemingly is invaluable at first could turn out to be something that is valuable, really valuable in the end. So
invaluable.
Exactly, invaluable. So yeah, that was my biggest takeaway from BP. What about you?
Well, I really liked hanging out with him too. I ran into him, Mark, more than anybody else in the whole entire BP time. Mm. And we interviewed him on one of the shorts that you're going to listen to here in a little bit. But then thereafter, man, we hung out the whole entire Universal Studios time, yeah. And did rode all the rides together. Yeah. Patrick Switek's good, is buddies with him and mm-hmm. does business with him. Mm-hmm. I'm looking into Boostly right now for my own business, because they build websites for your midterm, short-term rental options, so you can avoid the Airbnbs and whatever.
And the fees, yeah.
Yep. So I'm actually looking into that right now in his processes. But just a stand-up great guy, great family guy. And he's like, yeah, I'm doing like 5 conferences and my family's flying in. I'm taking the Universal Studios. Mm-hmm. He also witnessed me being a complete idiot and almost knocking myself out.
That was on the Velociraptor, right?
Yeah. The Jurassic Park thing. Jeez. But we had fun. I feel like every conference is so different from the last one. This is our third BP conference. It's Owen's fourth BP conference.
And it's my second.
So. Yeah. And so, yeah, 4-3-2. There we go. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, each one was just a completely different experience. We didn't get a lot. Owen was really had a different focus this time than, you know, just going out and doing video shorts. So, you know, there's less shorts in this one than we did last time. But we still had quality content that was out there. Yep. And that's kind of to explain how we had different focuses. Like this focus for me was really to get speakers for the podcast, mm-hmm. but also learn more on the midterm stuff. Or year prior, it was more short term. Year prior for that was to learn how to podcast. Period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so everybody that had a podcast, I just had nothing but podcast questions. And I'm a firm believer: when you go to any conference, you need to go with a goal and what you want to learn, and then that way you're gearing what breakout sessions that you want to be part of.
Yeah.
And I that whole entire day, I did nothing but midterm, short-term rental.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, and you were in all of the of the midterm stuff. Yeah,
yeah. I personally have transitioned most of my portfolio now into from short-term to midterm. What still keeping some short-term in the summertime, but mainly doing midterm as like that consistent cash flow. And one crazy thing is, just in the last 2 weeks now, I've actually been now transitioned 2 of my midterm short terms into long terms, where people needed fully furnished rental properties.
Yeah.
So, and they're paying all the utilities, and I get a little bit larger deposit on them.
Yeah.
But making some serious money on it, like, where I bought my furniture pretty dang cheap. You know?
Did you use the furniture from your staging business that you bought?
That, and also actually one of Michael McDonald's Airbnbs. Mm-hmm. I bought out his Airbnb in entirety, gutted, and took every piece of furniture and everything that, and one of my properties is completely full of all his stuff.
Right.
And yeah, I think I paid like $2,000 or something for that whole entire unit.
Wow. That's so bad. Refrigerators, everything.
Not appliances.
Oh, okay.
But it would have been like your coffee makers and all that stuff. The kitchens are the most expensive to fill up.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, because I did that, let's just say, so I spent $2,000 on everything in there, plus, some other things, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. Let's just say all in, I'm $2,500 in the furnishing that unit. Well, because of that, this 800 square foot, 2-bedroom house that I originally bought for $40,000, I put $40,000 or $50,000 into it, priced for $150,000. That property realistically should be like a $1,200 a month rental, right? Mm-hmm, as no yard. And but because of that, I think I'm getting $1,850 in rent on a 12-month lease that they need furnished. The family's house caught on fire and they lost everything.
Oh.
So now I'm providing a home that's fully furnished that costs me a very minimal amount of money. I mean, if they trash it, I'm not even going to be like majorly out. Mm-hmm. But look at this difference of rent income I'm getting because of it.
Yeah. Ziona McIntyre mentions that she does a lot of her rentals, short-term rentals and mostly midterm rentals to insurance companies or people who are looking for some sort of housing relief because of a fire or a flood. and the insurance is what covers the payment for it. Is that something similar that you're talking about now?
In this case, no. Their house burned down, but no, they're just moving into it. Now, I have housed people where insurance companies did pay me. Mm-hmm. I had somebody in there for 6 months in this exact property where their house was flooded, and the insurance company paid for them to stay in my place for 6 months.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think they were paying $1,700-$1,800 a month mm-hmm. for that at mm-hmm. that time. But yeah, so it's a lot. But when you're going to a conference, you should really think about what you want to get out of it, and then really focus on that. You know, what we're looking to get out of our conferences is totally different than what you're going to be looking at, and vice versa. So set a plan, stick to it, and you will get something out of these conferences.
Yeah, and. Even if it is you have education, so you're not going there for the education. Because Owen or Colin that was there, none of them could really learn much more. Yes, they could learn more. Everybody could learn more. But it's really about the relationships that you would build and the people that you would meet there that could potentially take your business from zero to wherever you want it to be much quicker than you could anticipate. And just like Ted said, like he went there for potential podcast guests.
Yep.
And when I went the first time, it was because I had to carry the entire studio to interview Brandon Turner. Mm. And this time I didn't carry the entire studio. I carried half of the studio. And, you know, it we still got people who could potentially be hard hitters on this podcast coming up. Like you would hear some of them. You'd hear that young guy who's like what, 19 or something like that.
And yeah.
Owns, oh my gosh. I'd even
from
want
Chicago.
To see, yeah.
Yeah. You'll find out.
Yeah, exactly. you would listen to it and you would hear his story, but it really is about the relationships that you could build as well as the education that you could potentially get. So
yeah, there's some good shorts. Most of these people we're going to get on the podcast here in the near future. So we'll dig deeper into the stories. These are more like little 5 and 10 minute teasers of some people we just met in the hallway. And
yeah, we were just signing up with our camera. And, you know, what happens is that Ted and, well, Tony Brown was also helping as a bodyguard, stopping people from walking across the camera. But, you know, they stood guard and just... Ted being his usual self would start talking about what they're doing, what we're doing here, and then potentially just getting people to come on, you know. And then Ziona was right or wrong, and she would introduce us to the people that she was talking to. Mm-hmm. A crazy, crazy couple of stories coming on from that with the lady who names her LLCs after squirrels.
I didn't do those interviews, so I'm excited to hear
those. Oh, yeah. you would hear that story. That is very, very interesting. So I can't wait for you guys to listen to these shorts here.
So it should be a good time.
Yep. And with that, let's get into BPCon Shorts, episode 103.
Today's episode of RIA Radio is brought to you by JM Real Estate Capital.
Hi, it's Rob, JM Real Estate Capital. We're the money guys that you need to know for all your real estate investments. Talk to us. We can do what your local bank can't or won't do. We don't have millions. We have trillions with a T to lend. 844 we close, or go online jmrecapital.com. That's jmrecapital.com. JM Real Estate Capital, smart solutions for the real estate investor.
All right, Christian Osgood, welcome to BPCon, wrapping up today. How was it?
It was fantastic.
Yeah,
absolutely fantastic.
Have you been to one before?
I was at last year's. Yes.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, I loved it.
So tell us, who's Christian? We operate out of the Seattle suburb area, right?
Yeah.
In Washington?
Live in Seattle. I actually invest in Central Washington, Moses Lake, Ephrata, Quincy, with my business partner, Cody Davis.
Okay.
We have a little over 200 multifamily units, all seller finance, never used the bank loan to acquire.
Wow.
And yeah, it's been super fun meeting everyone else here, learning their strategies, and getting to just meet everyone.
What's a takeaway? Like, you went to some of the breakout sessions, you met some people. Yeah. Like, now that we're almost wrapping up with this, when you go home, like, what have you gotten out of the trip?
You know what's funny? I actually had the most basic takeaway, but it's fantastic. I run a property management company. Uh-huh. I was listening to one of the panels, and they're like, hey, if it's not an appfolio, it didn't happen. I'm like, I need to tell my employees this, like, right now. I'm going to go home. I'm like, guys,
yeah,
if you didn't record it, it just didn't happen. Genius.
Yeah, that's great takeaway.
Simple, basic operations.
Now, 200 multifamily units, and you've never gotten bank financing.
Never.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I think we have a future podcast guest standing in front of us right now.
Let's do it.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. Well, now, you buy this stuff in Central Washington.
Yeah.
How's the pricing right now?
Pricing, you're on like newer builds, things are going like 180 to 200 units.
Yeah.
I'm picking up a lot at 100 a unit, but doing a lot of renovations on 1950s, 1960s.
Okay. So you're doing value
pretty
add.
Good pricing, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of value add. Some stuff's newer, but a lot of it's value add.
What did 2023 look like for you from an acquisition standpoint? Have you not bought as much because of the interest rate, like, craziness, or does that even affect you since you're doing seller financing?
It's actually been a little bit better because we can offer last year's price on last year's term, which is actually pretty good for seller finance guys.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So on the creative end, yeah, we just bought a 23 unit hotel conversion that we're going through.
We need to talk. I'm doing a hotel conversion right now in Branson, Missouri. So
no way. I'm guessing it's probably bigger than 23 units. I'm doing a little baby one.
143.
Yeah. I had a feeling.
But yeah, I'd love to talk to you more about
Dude,
that.
Absolutely.
And we'll make sure and get you on our podcast too. So we'll reach out and get it done. But I really 100%. Appreciate you stopping by.
Absolutely.
Nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you.
Keep kicking ass, man.
Let's do it.
Love it. Adrian Green, nice to meet you. You're based out of Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Yes.
And what do you do? So we were talking before, you said you do remote real estate investing.
Yes.
Where at? Why do you decide to do that?
So I help investors invest in Chattanooga, Tennessee, because it's a great market for real estate. Mm-hmm. I have lived elsewhere, like Southern California, Northern Virginia, outside DC, and I know what it's like to live in a market that's not great for real estate investing, that maybe is out of people's price point. And so I created an online community to give people resources to help them invest anywhere in the nation so that they're not limited by price point, any kind of logistics in that market or anything like that.
What is it called, though? What's your online community? How do we get that out to anybody that's interested?
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So we have a Facebook group. It's called Invest Away.
Invest Away.
Invest
okay.
Away. And so people can search for that on Facebook and join. Totally free group. We just try to offer resources and networking, kind of like Bigger Pockets does. Yeah.
That's amazing. So the Facebook group, and you have free resources for anybody that's interested in remote investing because their market is too expensive, maybe. Or they want other, you know, diversity in their portfolio.
Exactly.
Now, you invest in, you said South Carolina, is that
yes,
right?
So I also have short-term rentals in South Carolina, as well as the rentals where I am.
Uh-huh. Awesome. Well, I think we might want to get you on the podcast at some point, if that's all right.
I would love to talk about it.
Perfect.
For sure.
Ziana McIntyre, great seeing you again. It's been a little bit. What have you been up to lately? So we're BPCon 2023.
Yeah.
It's a long couple of days wrapping up.
Well, I'm going to tell you a fun story.
Yes.
So last year I was here, and I was just fresh off of totally messing up a creative finance deal. I like was really interested in creative finance, and in May it just all fell apart, and I really tried to do this deal. So I came here, and I sat in a Pace Morby talk in like October, you know? And now an entire year later, I sell about 10 creative finance deals a month. I just decided I'm going to learn this. And I went home and I learned it.
Dang.
1 year later.
Nice.
So that's just to tell people what you can do after a conference.
I love it. Yeah, you leave energized with new ideas, get stuff put in place. I did want to ask you though, so you posted a reel a little while ago, and it was about, you travel quite a bit, right? And you have a
about
secret 50% hack.
50% of the time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now tell us maybe what I'm talking about here with the house sitting, pet sitting, that kind of thing. How does that work?
So we have an app that we use called Trusted House Sitters, and if you reach out to me, I can get you 25% off. Ta-da. But on the app, you can see all these profiles. It's like a dating app, but it's got people's houses and their pets. And so I'm very fancy, and I only want to stay in the best places. So I pick all the nice places, and we go there. Now, with the app, you're doing a free trade. You stay in their house for free, and then they get the pet sitting for free. But we rent our house on Airbnb for about $300 a night. And so we get paid to pet sit. And we go to Hawaii, we go to all the ski mountains in Colorado. It's really awesome.
Dude, that is such, I totally want to do that because I was just telling you, my family came with me here and we got a house sitter, dog sitter and all that. And it was kind of like, you don't know who you're dealing with and like, you know, there's a little bit of that.
The app's got reviews, so at least that helps a little bit.
Yeah, so it's kind of like Airbnb, you can check out and stalk whoever is, that's awesome. Well, that's a great tip. We love seeing you as always. I'm interested to see where your travels are going to take you next so I can check you out on Instagram. What's your Instagram handle?
Ziana McIntyre. That's just my first and last name.
Yeah, okay, perfect. Jason Kane, Bigger Pockets 23. How you doing, man?
I'm good.
Now tell us a little bit about what you do. You're located in Los Angeles, and how are you involved in real estate?
I'm located in Los Angeles. I am a syndicator and also a lender. So our recent acquisition as a syndicator, we have 111 units in Dallas. Awesome. As a lender, I do hard money, you know, fix and flip loans, and actually wanted to learn more about kind of like how you're setting that up. So
yeah,
really glad that I got to run into you again this year.
Yeah, anything I can do to help with that with stuff we've already put together, I'm happy to do it because there's no sense recreating the wheel. Awesome. Besides, we don't loan in California anyway, so you can have it all.
I guess that's my biggest takeaway, like really connect and reconnect with people that you've met, you know, like yourself.
Yeah.
Because you never know, you know, what kind of deals you can do together, right?
I love it, man. Debbie, Owen Dashner, nice to meet
you.
Nice to meet you, Owen. And for you hail from Galveston, Texas.
Yep, Galveston, Texas.
What's that like? You don't have the twangy accent I was expecting.
No, I'm a transplant.
Oh.
I moved there from Oregon.
Okay, so how long have you been in real estate?
I've been a real estate agent for 3 years, but investing, doing a little wholesaling. Before that, in my previous life, we built a few homes.
Oh, okay.
So
you've done a lot of different stuff.
Yeah.
Now you do short-term rentals, any long-term ones in there as well?
I'm actually switching a couple to long-term, yes,
okay,
to kind of balancing that, make solidify a little bit.
Yep. Now how many short-term rental units do you own right now?
Five. I just sold one in Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
In June, which was perfect timing. So, yeah.
Now, are they all single families or any condos? Or?
I have a fourplex and then a single family.
Okay, gotcha. Maybe we could get your link to your Airbnb units, throw it in our show notes in case anybody's going to Galveston.
Absolutely.
Look at this, full service.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Julie Gates hails from Savannah, Georgia. You have a lot of different stuff going on. Hotel in Wisconsin.
Yep.
You buy city blocks, apparently.
Absolutely.
And evict everyone. Is that
if they don't pay?
Okay, tell us a quick story about that. You mentioned this before we started recording, but you bought a city block and you had to do a whole bunch of evictions.
Yes.
What happened?
I don't know if you'll believe this, but we had tenants that were living there. They had not paid rent. One of them hadn't paid rent in 16 years. Like, I live for tired landlords, and I had a very tired landlord that was a friend. I just kind of got to know this person, and they kept talking about these apartments. And finally, she said, "You want to look at them?" And I said, "Yeah." So I was able to get them. And so anyway, I tried to keep the tenants. I never want to evict. I'd rather them stay and pay, and then I don't have to rehab. But none of them had any intention of paying. So we had to do the eviction, unfortunately, multiple evictions. Well, and the ironic thing that I never thought about before, because my son used to run a squirrel rescue, and so I have a lot of LLCs because I've been an investor for a long time. And so I name all of my LLCs after squirrels. In fact, my property management company, which I'm very proud of, is called Sid Was Here, because Sid is a squirrel. And so I like to be unique. So anyway, this city block, when I bought it, I put it in the LLC called Nachos, because it's Nachos, it's mine. That was my thinking. So we're in court, and to every eviction, the judge was like, Nachos versus Jones. And I'd have to stand up and walk to and poor Chandler had to come with me. And it was kind of embarrassing. And the judges are mean as snakes, but I do think that maybe they were a little bit like, you know, snickering. Like,
up next, Nachos.
It was
Nachos
so,
again.
I never expected that, but it was kind of funny that they had to say it over and over and over, and I was just kept standing up and, you know, Nachos.
I love it. Yeah. Well, I can't wait to hear more about all of your stories when we get you on the podcast. Okay. So what have you been working on this last year, 2023?
I bought a self-storage unit.
Oh, nice.
The facility. So, not a unit.
Yeah, that's okay. Right. That's one way to go. So like $4,000 for a unit.
You know how they tell you that real estate's about cash flow? And I'm very proud to say that I am now cash flowing on my kids. I met a guy. Well, actually, I was at my son's birthday party. And one of the moms at the party was saying she happened to mention that her dad couldn't sell his self-storage facility. And I said, what? And I just happened to be at a birthday party with her, my son's birthday party. And so, of course, I immediately hunted down her dad, made sure he knew who I was. Got to know him. He sold it to me on September 15, just a few weeks ago. He seller financed it for me, and I'm very excited about it.
That's an amazing story.
Yeah.
Chandler Newman, Savannah, Georgia, former almost big league ball player. Did I hear her right? Do you throw 102 miles an hour? Is that true? Is this kilometers?
Yeah, miles per hour. That's right. I hit 100 a couple of times.
That's awesome. I was a JUCO, like piddly, you know, baseball player.
I went JUCO as well.
Yeah, awesome. All right. JUCO Players Unite. Okay, what we were talking about was you are in the property management business and real estate investing. What is the craziest property management story that you can think of off the top of your head that you've experienced?
So the craziest that I know of is So I don't know if you know the like the back drain pipes that come out of houses. It backed up. And so basically
the sewer line?
The sewer line.
Okay.
Well, when it backs up and it that I don't know how to explain it. There's something on top of it. Well, once it backs up and hits that, it's going back up through the toilet. So anyways, I get a call Sunday morning, beautiful Sunday morning too. And hey, we have a flood, basically. And I walk in, and they didn't give me like an idea. I walk in, just poop and pee all over the floor. And I'm just like, this is a mess. Sadly, the owners were in there on their knees and trying to clean it up. And gross. I'm like, that's not going to do it. Yeah. And so finally we got it fixed, but that was just a nasty, nasty mess.
Yeah. Now, how many units do you manage in Savannah?
So we have around, I'd say 60, 70 units.
Got it. And are those all owned by like your team? Is it an in-house management or is that third party?
So some of in-house own and then some are outsourced too.
What's one thing that you maybe can think of that's a takeaway from this, maybe that learned to help you in your business or, you know, tips and tricks, people you met?
So, I don't know. So there's a younger speaker. He's 22 years old and he has 25 units and, wow. I'm a younger guy too. And so it's easy to just make excuses. Oh, I don't have money. I don't have this. So it kind of brought me, I was like, I don't have an excuse anymore. You know, like yeah. This guy has 25 units, like. So you get to ask them questions. Hey, how'd you find money? I know how to find money now. Private yeah. money lender or all different ways. So
isn't it so funny how like you don't know what you don't know until you talk to somebody that's doing something that you yeah. could do or want to do. And then you're like, oh, yeah. And then you can go home and apply that to your business. And sure, yeah. So you have that conference attending high for a while.
Another thing is not just like getting to know them just while at the conference. Like I get to hang out with them now. So it's not like I get this conference high and then I get home and it just goes back down. Like yeah. I get to keep hanging out with them, talking to them, and it just kind of just stays hot. Like, hey man, like what are you doing?
So yeah, that's awesome.
It's pretty cool.
Cool. Boostly is your business.
Boostly is the business.
Okay.
We help, so we've got over 2,500 clients. We look after 10,000 listings around the world. We're in every continent in the world and we've generated $50 million of direct bookings in the last 14 months. So that's what we do.
Good Lord. So how, okay, so you're from the UK and you spoke here on your business basically.
Yeah.
Now, and you mentioned Bigger Pockets episode 680.
Basically, this time last year we talked about direct bookings and then recently we talked about AI and about how you can use it in your real estate portfolio or short-term rentals. And we talked about tools and stuff. So that was really cool.
Do you have any, maybe anything specific, like a quick tip on that, on ChatGPT for your business? Is
yeah.
there something like
so
a takeaway?
There's a website, which is really cool, called poe.com.
Okay.
Because ChatGPT is one generative AI bot, mm-hmm. but there's loads. So Meta are building their version and you've got Cloud. So there's loads of different bots. There's hundreds of them. So Poe, you basically go onto it and it's got all of the different generative AI bots and put it into one website. So it's just so much easier to use.
Oh.
Because Cloud is really good for copy, for writing copy, writing descriptions, etc. Where, you know, ChatGPT is more of a research tool.
Yep.
So, for example, one of the big things I talked about yesterday, the first thing I talked about, I did 10 tips. The first tip was know your guest. Know who's coming to your area on all that jazz. And somebody was thinking, well, they asked a question, well, I don't know any of this. What's the resource? And said, well, use ChatGPT because what generative AI is, imagine the most cleverest human that you know, and it's 1,000 times smarter than that person. And it's like having a 24/7 intern that doesn't complain, doesn't get paid, doesn't sleep, doesn't get ill, and you've got it at your disposal and it's free.
So is Poe free to use?
Yeah, 100% free.
Oh my God, this is awesome.
Yeah, so go Poe, and you can use it for anything. I mean, you didn't be real estate, it could be any decision-making thing that you want to do. Obviously, you don't take it verbatim, because it's not perfect, but it gets you 80% of the way there, and then you use 20% of your own like intuition to like finish the job.
Amazing. So I'm excited to learn more about Boostly and what you can do to help me personally with my Airbnb. So I'm gonna definitely research. And now, so you mentioned you have two other speaking engagements while you're here in the States. Are they all in the Florida area?
So the first one's in Florida next weekend, Verma, and then in Houston for HostCon with Rob. So I'm gonna be talking about like the blueprint, because here I talked about the playbook. like 100 like tactics on how you can get direct bookings. But for a lot of people who are starting out, they need to make sure they've got the blueprint in place, like the solid foundations. Because if you've got the solid foundations in, then you can apply the tactics to boost your direct bookings. So that's what I'm going to talk about at HostCon.
Wow, amazing. Jason Folks.
Yes.
From Utah.
Area. Okay. Specifically South Jordan, for anybody that knows Salt Lake.
And is this your first BPCon?
This is, and it was so awesome.
Yeah? What's the takeaway you've got? Now, you mentioned before we started recording, you've got long-term rentals, short-term rentals. Mm-hmm. You just did a creative finance deal.
And we did.
Yeah.
We did.
Maybe talk about that for a second.
You know, so one of the things I've learned here is it's about your connections, about your people, and it's about everybody that surrounds you. Mm-hmm. And the only way we got this accomplished was having the right people to call, the right people to talk to, and the right people to walk us through. That made a world of difference for us being able to accomplish it. So learning what I did here about having the right team around you, that deal just reinforced everything that I just learned while we were here.
Now, this is a subject to deal, so you're going to be taking over existing debt on a property. Right. How hard was that to convince the seller? Was it difficult or not as bad as you thought?
Straightforward. This was pretty easy. The individual had an agent, couldn't get it to sell. My wife was an agent who was friends with this individual, called him up and said, "What's going on with your house?" He said, "This is my problem." We said, "I got a solution for you. If you want to go along with it, we can work this out." It worked out great. We're going to give him $10,000. In return, the people are coming in. They're going to give us a $10,000 deposit to move in, and we're just going to shift money from A to B, and we're off and running.
I love it. Yeah. Are you going to be hooked on that? Is that going to be your jam?
You mentioned long-terms. My body is wore out from doing long-terms because I do all the rehab. I've done everything. So having to just sign my name on a piece of paper and go down to the clerk's office, that was 1,000 times easier and way better upside on the end.
That's great. So what's next for Jason over the next, say, year or 2 years?
Well, so I bothered Ted off screen. I bothered Ted. But we're looking for a new market to get into. My goal is to do some out-of-state investment.
Yep.
That's my personal goal. I've kind of been more hands-on, and I need to bite the bullet and jump in and do something out-of-state. So we're looking for a market that's kind of similar to what we've been doing in Utah.
Yep.
Really want to go multifamily.
Yep.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, Ted's probably the most networked person in and around in Nebraska, probably. Yeah, like he knows his stuff, so you're in good hands.
Yeah, I've been to Omaha a couple times, really liked it. Great Perfect. City.
Well, stop in. We'll get you on the podcast, man.
Sounds great.
Awesome.
Hey, guys, Ted over here at Bigger Pockets 2023, and I'm sitting here with Jonathan. So you have a company, and the company is called?
Investor Property Loan.
And what is Investor Property Loan?
Expertise is in the name. We specialize in any type of investment property lending. Okay. So anything down to single fix and flip all the way up to 200-unit acquisition, everything in between.
What's your strongest niche in that?
Our strongest niche right now, I would say, is the fix and flip and the interest-only products for short-term rentals.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what separates you from anybody else that's in this game?
I'm an investor myself.
Okay.
And just absolutely understand both sides of it. So I've been through a lot of the loans that I sell to my clients, and also I'm able to understand and underwrite based on what we know as an investor.
Yeah, I always say it's important to work with somebody that does actual investing, especially like when you're buying a property, being a realtor,
exactly.
and I have investments, and when I find other people working with agents, for instance, and they don't have investment properties, what are they really providing?
Exactly.
So tell me a little bit about your portfolio and what makes you a little bit more qualified than the average mortgage broker.
My very first property was a house hack. I did an ADU conversion and a massive value add.
Yeah.
And so I'm actually cash flowing very strongly in a very expensive market. So that's that one strength of understanding ADU, change of use laws, and understanding renovations when you're down to the studs has helped with a lot of my renovation clients. And then I also did out-of-state BRRRs as well. So I understand the BRRRR strategy. I've been through it myself, and that's able to bring a lot of experience to the table so the clients really feel trusted and that they have a good second pair of eyes on any deal.
So they finally, I'm out of Omaha.
Oh, nice.
And they finally allowed ADUs. They've been very anti-ADU.
Okay.
And then this year they came out and they said, hey, ADUs are going to be allowed, plus we're going to do a competition who can do the prettiest one. And I just bought a duplex, and it's got a big lot in the back. I'm like, oh, we can get like a two-car garage, put a unit on top, and it's already, and I'm like, this is going to work out really good and bump up the value. So I might call you for some advice on this as we're getting to this, because I've never done ADU.
Well, ADUs are great, but they are a little tricky, right? Because sometimes the value isn't the same as an equal unit, right? A single family with an ADU isn't necessarily the same comparable as a duplex.
Yeah.
And so that's really appraisers in the area. But lenders are now understanding that they can still lend on ground-up ADUs. They can still lend on the construction of them because we can still use the income. And those are on the new wave of lenders basically being more amenable to clients who have that value-add mentality.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, John, if people want to get to know more about you and your company,
Yeah.
How can they get a hold of you?
So I'm on Instagram, John the Loan Guy. I post up a lot of loan-related content, as the name suggests. And then investorpropertyloan.com is where they can find us.
Damien, this is a BP reunion for us. Where were you last year, and what has changed in the year besides us going out clubbing last night?
Okay, all right, that hasn't changed. A lot has changed in a year. So within that year, I'm working on my fourth flip now, and I'm under contract with a new build that I'm planning to build, as well as I started an international mastermind.
International mastermind, what is this?
So long story short, within this last year, I've been going to a different conferences. Okay. And over those times, we make really good connections with different good brothers. So I wanted to combine something that has health, wealth, and freedom, but also doing adventurous things. I'm talking about skydiving. I'm talking about diving underneath the water. I'm talking about going to the gym, but also still making those connections to where you can talk about health, wealth, and freedom. You know, you're having a good conversation, then it's like, hey, let's go diving. So we did a...
Or jump out of a plane.
Exactly. So back in February, we actually did an international mastermind in Dominican Republic. It was 5 days. It was about, five or six of us. And we had a chance to meet with the developer that's developing a community down in Gaspar Hernandez. Yeah. We also had a chance to meet with different investors, private money investors, as well as some other investors that own Airbnb rentals in Dominican Republic. Yeah. And we did cool stuff, too. You know, we did really, really cool stuff.
Okay, so what made you what was the moment that you're like, hey, I'm going to start a mastermind? Did you see somebody or did you talk to somebody? Was it something you read? What was that moment that this is something I got to do?
Well, I spent a couple weeks in Bali, and over there what they do is...
Of course.
He flew to Bali right after
BP Con. After last time. Oh, my gosh.
So what they do down in Bali is they got this really cool concept to where they have a week trip. And they will go climb a volcano. They will work out in the morning, but they'll also still be able to build really deep connections with like-minded people.
Yeah.
I come back here, and we were all saying the same thing. It's just like, dude, I can't have these conversations with my family. I can't have these conversations with the people I know. So I'm like, why not just make it? So I pitched them the idea. I was like, dude, if we go to Dominican Republic for 5 days and we're able to link up with the other good brothers and just have a great time and do adventurous things, would you guys go? And everybody was like, dude, yes. And that's what happened. So ever since then, you know, we went to another conference in Atlanta a couple weeks ago.
InvestFest.
A couple months back.
And what was Atlanta?
InvestFest.
Okay.
Yep. And ever since then, it's just been rocking.
This is a whirlwind.
Yeah. Yep. And we believe in three simple things, you know, work hard, buy assets, and even train harder. You know, so absolutely.
So, I mean, I'm not even going to say year because your whole life's changed here. Where are you going to be in 3 months from now? Where's this organization going to be in 3 months from now?
3 months from now, we look to continue to do international masterminds and we look to continue to grow it. What the vision is to do something. I want to go back to Bali. Mm-hmm. That's what my ultimate goal is. Mm-hmm. But eventually create some type of a GBC fund mm-hmm. to where everybody puts in X amount and then we can become the private money lenders to different organizations. Because ultimately, how cool would it be to touch the 18, 19-year-old Darians, 18, 19-year-olds Keys, the 18, 19-year-old Denlis, the 18, 19-year-old Kins, mm-hmm. you know? So, and fund their dreams, fund the things that they want to do, because you don't know what you don't know.
True.
You know? And not a lot of people are exposed to the things that we are exposed to. Mm. So, if we can touch them somehow, some type of way, I think it'll be going in full circle.
I love that. Karen, how can we find out more about the organization? And what is your role in the organization also?
So when Darian pitched the idea, he's like, yo, Keith, it's my idea. And he was excited. I said, let's do it. Let's do it. GBC, I like the name. The Good Brother Connect, I love the name. So we started an Instagram page where we post videos from last BPCon, from our February trip in Dominican, our last trip in Atlanta in August, and now we're gonna post more videos and shows who we are. So it shows us, you know, we have videos where we're in deep conversation about real estate, about life, about perspective, about, you know, mental aspects and mental barriers and challenging each other. We really challenge each other. And that's what I like about that. I can't go to, you know, my friends and my brothers talk to them about real estate and have somebody challenge me like, well, why can't you buy that $1 million building?
Yeah.
Why can't you, you know, do this? Why can't you do that? So these brothers hold me accountable and, you know, propel me and push me to, you know, break those barriers and reach for the stars. And, you know, then they're challenging me to, all right, I need to come up with a game plan. I need a PML, come up with a pitch deck. And yeah. Darian is, he's been really, dude, these brothers have been really backing.
3 weeks, what's going on? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Accountability.
Yes.
But
yes.
It's needed. Yeah. You know, it's needed. I believe that it's needed. So why not create it?
Yep.
I mean, I'm a firm believer that you're surrounding people that you want to be like, yeah. the people that lift you up.
Yep.
It's going to lift you up and make you a better person.
Definitely.
And then you guys are going to keep on competing against each other.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
And the sky's the limit.
Friendly competition. Absolutely.
So, Keem, tell me what you got going on in the organization. What's your involvement? And what is this? How does this change your life?
Immensely. Like you already mentioned, having these different peers together to kind of bounce ideas off of, it's been a huge benefit. I say we're like different branches off the same tree. A lot of us are very heavy into the real estate world as far as investing goes.
Yeah.
However, we all have different niches, and then able to kind of deep dive in those niches and share information against what kind of tools, what kind of software we're using, and how that can help others inside our business. I remember, in Atlanta, I just talking to him, venting about some issues I was having on a deal, and Darian's like, hey man, actually, I know someone that can help you on that. Gives me the number, helps me, you know, move forward on the deal. So that's just this kind of, but I would say on another note, what's cool is, and what kind of dawned on me even this last time is that networking is not about giving out cards. Mm. Networking is about like,
making relationships.
Making connections.
Yeah.
And having a good time. So when we have our conversations, a lot of times it's not just real estate.
Yeah.
A lot of times it goes deeper than that.
Yeah.
We start talking about mindset, and then other times we're not talking about anything at all. We're just having a good drink and having a good time. So,
yeah. Life.
Maybe
life.
We do an old fashioned a little later.
Yeah. Right? Definitely life.
And I'm going to tell you what, I can contest on you making relationships, because we met briefly last year. And you've kept in connect, and you connected with Denless, and so I know this isn't just smoke being blown. And
well, man, it's something that has to be worked on, because we always talk about all the time. It's just like during these networking events, it's kind of awkward to kind of get to know people. You don't want to play something.
You have to be intentional.
You have to be intentional.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's good that BPCon. This is one of my favorite conferences, not because of the speakers. That's great too. Everybody is so easy to talk to. Everybody is so easy to talk to. And this is my second year. And I tell people all the time, it's just like, we're going to meet some of the best friends that you have ever met.
Yes. Yes.
Ever.
I met him last year, and he's like, I'm like, you're like my brother. Like, I feel like you're my brother.
Did you guys
like,
meet at BP last year?
Yes.
Oh, shut up. I did not know that.
Yeah. But here's the crazy part. Like so he actually knew somebody that he went to a conference with.
Yeah.
And then I went to a different conference, and I met that same person.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you're going to BPCon? Darren's going to BPCon. You guys need to meet. And that's how we met.
Yeah.
And then we met him along the way, Akeem.
I met the person that brought them together from another networking real estate event in Massachusetts.
Really?
Yeah. So,
you know, it's a superpower. It's a superpower to bring people together.
Yes. And we all get along. We all have our different traits, our different, you know, characteristics about each other, but we're all, you know, moving towards the same common goal, you know, health, wealth, and freedom. And that's our pillars.
If there's people listening and they want to learn more about health, wealth, and freedom and get to know you guys and can support you guys, can you give them some contacts on how to reach out to you?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Follow us at The Good Brother Connect on Instagram. If you want one of the shirts, we got them for sale. Also, we got hoodies that I might be biased, but I think they're really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But on the back of them, they say what we believe in. Buy assets, train hard,
work harder.
So if you guys are interested, just follow us. We would appreciate it.
And if you check out Rhea Radio Instagram, we're following them, and you can check them out there, and we're going to tag them in this post also. I am here with Justin, and Justin, your dad has, like, you have to talk to Justin. So, like, why is your dad your biggest fan?
Because he's helped me grind through the tough parts of real estate and, like, grind out the cold calling and show what it really takes in time and energy to truly succeed in this path.
Okay, because is your dad an investor also?
Yeah, he's an investor as well.
And how long has he been investing for?
Like, on and off for, like, 10 years.
Okay, and then you started watching him?
Yeah, pretty much just watching him. Like, he was like, oh, he's a realtor as well. So, yeah. Like, he always brought me on different showing appointments and always, like, saw real estate. Wasn't, like, always super interested or anything.
You weren't?
Yeah.
So, what, like, what was the moment that you started, like, hey, this is something that I might want to do?
Oh, like, junior, senior year in high school, like, really knew I just didn't want to go to college because I hated school overall. Yeah. But I was doing stock market day trading at the time, and that was
in high school?
Yeah, in high school.
That's interesting. And okay, so and for the listeners, how old are you now?
19 right now.
19. And then so you got investing how long ago? How long ago did you get your first deal?
Last September.
Last September.
Yeah.
And so anybody listening is probably thinking, oh, Justin got his first deal, but no. Yeah. Justin, how many deals have you gotten since last September?
Since last September, with wholesale and buy and holds, about like 45 deals.
45 deals.
Yeah.
And how many of those have you held on to?
I've held on to about 25 as of now.
And you sold the other 20
yep.
on a wholesale. Holy moly, man.
Yep.
That is completely, that's mind-blowing.
It's amazing, for sure.
So what has been the reason for this recipe of success?
It really comes down to trial and error, having the true desire and like faith that you can do it.
Yeah.
And like using as many resources and not being alone and using the community around you to find out knowledge and actually take an action and not just sitting back and relaxing.
Oh my gosh, man, when I see you next year, where do you think you're going to be at? Have you already got this far this fast?
I don't know, like, because I want to get into multifamily as well, so like it could just shoot up, but like the goal is really like minimum 100 by next year.
And you're from Detroit, but where are all your properties?
Oh, I'm in about 10 different states right now.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, so what states are you in?
Well, I'm in Georgia, Florida, Texas, Louisiana, Kansas, Arizona, Colorado.
It's like a
text. It's like a text. Let's see, Michigan.
Okay, and how are you using like PropStream or something to find all these deals? Or like what?
I use a bunch of different resources,
okay.
Batch Leads, ListSource. Yeah. And like the best thing is going directly to the county to like just find foreclosures and probates and like get the most recent data for if you're going to do cold outreach. But my favorite thing is having people come to you, bringing you deals or like PPC or Facebook ads. You want people coming to you always.
Are you part of the Pace Morby subject to?
Yeah, I'm a part of his membership.
Okay. Has that played a role in getting these deals?
Played a major role in getting these deals through his community and networking, like through partnerships. It's really helped me skyrocket for sure. Because I wouldn't have been able to truly do those 25 deals like all by myself.
Yeah.
But I'm really good at finding deals and like I raise money on some of them, but like I got one partner who just raises the money on all of them and another person who just helps, like since I'm not only doing long-term rentals, I'm doing like buying it and then selling it right away on a wrap at a higher interest rate. So that person handles that process and you got to have different partners and systems because there's so much time in a day you can't handle it all.
We're going to get you on the full length podcast, by the way. You're going to be okay with that?
Yeah.
We really need to dig deep into this and find out exactly how you're doing it.
Sure.
But I mean, I am mind blown right now and I cannot wait to get more details on you. If you get a chance to listen to our episode 100 of the Pace Morby, I think you'll like it. So.
Yeah.
Casey Gregerson, thanks for stopping by, man. This
Absolutely.
Has been fun. So we were talking a little bit before we hit record. You are based out of the Houston area, but you invest in Wyoming.
That's right.
Why?
A little bit different. That's what everybody's like, what's going on? Why are you here?
So
I grew up in Wyoming, lived there all my life, went to college there, and bought my first property in Laramie, Wyoming in 2010 when I was going to school. Actually, my dad helped co-sign on my first loan. He actually, I played college football, actually, so I had some scholarships and I didn't use all my college savings. So he took about $10,000 of my college savings. We used that as a down payment. That was the first house I bought.
No way. How old were you?
I was 23, I believe. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Just gotten out of undergrad.
Now you said you had a W-2 job. You worked in the oil and gas industry for a long time. You were a petroleum engineer.
Yep.
Like, how disappointed are your parents in that you're now a lowly real estate investor instead of using your engineering degree?
Yeah, they were initially. They were like, "What the heck are you thinking? Why are you spending all this time on real estate?" But no, and I kind of sometimes ask myself that too. I spent all that. I went to school for 5 years for my undergrad and then a 2-year master's in petroleum and then don't use any of it. But at the same time, like I got into an awesome job when I was at Shell where I worked in the field. So I would work for 2 weeks on a drilling location as a company man. And then I would have 2 weeks off. And on that 2 weeks off, I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to answer an email. Like there was no work obligation. So those 2 weeks, I wasn't going to sit around and do nothing, of course. I was going to start investing in real estate because I had that first one in Laramie, and then Red Rich Dad Poor Dad, like a lot of people, got my wheel spinning. And then I just started absorbing as much bigger pockets as I could, because I was actually, when I was working, we'd be in the field driving around a location. So you'd be a lot of windshield time. So I was listening to all these podcasts. Yeah. And that's when I'm like, that's actually when I started investing and buying property. Anyway, so I started initially buying holds and then wholesaling and then fix and flipping, built an integrated company. Eventually I got it big enough to where it no longer, either way, that W-2 was starting to take away from my core businesses. So that's when I knew I had to leave the W-2 job.
How long have you been gainfully unemployed then?
It's actually exactly a year ago.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, a year ago, like BPCon last year, that was kind of like...
That was it. Actually, the next week was the week that I, yeah.
That I oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, now you mentioned podcasts a minute ago. You have a podcast as well. What's it called?
Yeah, Gregersense is our
Gregor podcast. Sense. Okay, so your last name, a little little play on words.
Yeah, I'm teaching you some investing sense.
Yeah, now what is your platform? Like, what do you talk about on the podcast?
Yeah, so we like talking to any level of investor, but really we cater to people who are just starting out or really a lot of high W-2 earners that are trying to get into real estate. So I worked in oil and gas again for 12 years, worked alongside these guys that had a good W-2 income but had no idea how to get in real estate. They weren't like me and didn't want to go buy and fix and flip houses on their days off. They wanted to go spend time with their families, I guess, like normal people. But
not like us, weirdos.
Yeah, but I wanted to really help those guys and show them, hey, this is some tips of how you can do it. So we like to talk to different wholesalers, different IRAs. Like, for example, we brought on a self-directed IRA professional to show these guys, hey, here's a way you can use your self-directed IRA to invest in real estate. So we just want to give them a lot of different strategies and how they can get started in real estate.
What do you like about the Wyoming market compared to, say, you know, somewhere else like Houston, for example?
Yeah, I get that question a lot too. So I actually had a small portfolio in Dallas-Fort Worth, about 10 properties at one point. We actually sold that just over a year ago. It was last summer. We had all those units. Because I looked at my cash flow. I'm like, here's how much money I was making in Fort Worth. And I looked at my Wyoming stuff and I'm like, it wasn't close. So I took those properties. I did a 1031 exchange into a 14 unit and a fourplex in Wyoming. And the cash flow's been phenomenal.
Monster.
Since then.
Yeah.
So I just really like, it's the cash flow, right? Because the property taxes and insurance now is killing you in Texas or places in the South, yeah. Right? So in Wyoming, we've got low property taxes. Actually, there's no state income tax, low insurance, and a lot of demand. There's not enough housing like a lot of other markets in the country. There's not enough housing. And the last thing is, there's not a lot of competition when it comes to investors.
I was going
to
say, I feel like I might want to explore the Wyoming
market.
Yeah,
I know. I'm careful who I tell. So I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, I love it. No, this has been great. And what you, one last thing. You mentioned you took down a 63-unit deal. Is that a chunk of your portfolio where you have multifamily and single family mixed in? And what was that deal like taking it down?
Yeah, so we'd been, again, buying single families and then duplexes, fourplexes. We bought that 14 unit about a year ago. Mm-hmm. But with our lead funnel, and basically, because we go direct to seller and we get a lot of leads that come into us, we cast a wide net in Wyoming, honestly, out of essentials, because we need to get the lead flow and keep my team busy. We got to cast a wide net. But because of that, we get some multifamily stuff that came in. So that one came in about, it was last February, and we closed it this June. And it's been a game changer. Like, when we start to look at the scale that we can now apply on this property, like, it's crazy. We actually did a little bit about the deal. We bought these units for $60,000. That was purchase plus rehab. And they're going to turn around and rent for $1,000 a month.
Ooh,
so cash
yes,
flow is,
please.
Yes, exactly. So, and now we've got a full-time maintenance guy there. I mean, we're doing all sorts of evictions. We've been in the trenches the last 3 months of turning this property around. But we're just, I don't know, it's been a cool evolution to do a 14 unit. We went full circle on that a year ago. Actually, we just went a year on that one. And we got all those rents from 600 to 1200, which was great, right? And now we're doing it on times 63. So it's a lot bigger. But again, just as everybody knows, multifamily, you get that scalability. And it's been a fun project.
Once you stabilize that, are you going to refinance and recoup some of the cash and do it again, hopefully?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we actually took on an equity partner on this one. And that was our plan from the start, was put our money in, be able to refinance. We're hoping within 12 months we can have it stabilized and up to market rents and pull all our money out. Maybe if we're lucky, we'll get a little extra out.
That's
the plan.
Yeah. Now, if somebody's catching this and they are interested in maybe potentially investing in Wyoming, what's the best way to reach you generally?
Yeah. So if you're on social media, go to our Instagram page, just Casey Gregerson, my name, without any dots, just Casey Gregerson. You can reach out to me there. Also, check out our YouTube channel. We talk a lot about our deal flow. We talk a lot about our guests. That's where we actually share all of our podcast episodes on GregorSense. So any one of those ways, reach out to me. I'd love to chat. Because again, Wyoming, I think it's not everybody knows about it, and it's a good thing. But also, I want to bring in some love. I want to share the love. Bring in some other people who can take advantage of what we have been doing for the last 13 years now.
So, David Fan from Dallas, Texas. So, you are at, how many BP cons have you been to?
This is actually my first BP con.
Yeah. What do you think?
It's been an incredible experience. I think the amount of people that I met, the connections that we met, it's invaluable. I'm definitely going to come to the next one.
Cool. And you organized kind of a mini meetup. That's where we met the other day. Right. Yeah. Is that your thing? I loved it.
I'm a huge advocate for networking, meeting other people. And at the end of the day, you never know who you might meet that might be your next partner or your next deal finder, stuff like that. So, we came early. We're like, let's do a happy hour.
Yeah.
Let's meet people before we're actually going to the conference.
So. Yeah, I love the small group aspect of it. You get to have more in-depth conversations with people. Now, tell us about your business. You're involved in luxury flipping, right? Yeah. What's that like? How'd you get into it?
Yeah. So, I worked in medical sales and made a decent amount of capital. I actually got
a lot
in,
of capital from what it sounds
I
like.
I made some capital, and then I was able to be a PML for my current partner and my mentor at the time, who does
private
high
money
end.
Lender.
Yes. And he was a high-end flipper in the North Dallas area. So we're typically doing like 1 mil to 4 mil ARV, luxury market, like less than 10 days on market, just because it's a very niche type of demographic. It's been great. It's kind of how I've been able to scale, learn a lot about real estate, and I'm just very fortunate to have met my partner too. So
awesome. So what's next for David this year, or like the next, let's say, 12 months from now? We get back together. What have you done?
Sure. So my main goal right now is we're actually getting a lot of interest with private investors. We're going more of the route of raising private capital, maybe moving it into a hard money lending for other investors that might need funding. Potentially work on higher end builds, going into ground up development, commercial developments.
Just a few things.
I mean, it's only 1 year, so hopefully we can do at least one of them or something of the sort, right?
If you guys are listening to the first time or the 103rd time, please jump on whatever format you listen to. Give us a review. It really helps us grow this. And something that we don't ask much, but we're definitely trying to grow the listenership here. And if there's a real estate investor that you know, or somebody trying to get into real estate investing that you think that could learn from what we provide or just enjoy the content that we put out, I ask you, please just share this podcast with them, or share your favorite podcast with them, and send it over to them, and tell them to listen to us and give us some feedback that way. So we appreciate it very much. And we're on all the social media. So definitely follow us on Instagram, Ria Radio, or our YouTube channel, Ria Radio.